Well, there's been fierce political debate over South Australia's power grid ever since a blackout plunged that state into darkness in September last year. South Australia leads the nation with 57% of its power generated by wind and solar. But that blackout led to plenty of questions about the reliability of renewable energy in the national energy mix. As a result, the South Australian government has announced since then a $550 million plan to guarantee reliable power in the state, including a 100 megawatt battery storage system. You remember that was the battery challenge. It all started with that battery challenge, a Twitter bet between two entrepreneurs, Tesla's Elon Musk and Atlassian boss Mike Cannon-Brookes. Founder Elon Musk promising that the massive battery could be built by Tesla within 100 days. If it didn't honour that challenge, South Australia would get its money back. Well, the tender was won by the US-based Tesla, and today, ahead of schedule, the state gets the world's biggest lithium battery. Jay Weatherill is the Premier of South Australia. Premier, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Started as a Twitter challenge between two smart and very rich entrepreneurs. You've got your battery, but you are left paying the bill. There's an upside and a downside.
Well, lots of upsides. We're now leading the world in dispatchable renewable energy, so it's been charged up by wind farms and are discharging, and in fact it was used yesterday during our extreme weather conditions, so we know it works. So, yeah, no, it's a great day. History in the making. They were laughing at us. We had the Prime Minister making fun of South Australia and its blackouts, blaming our leadership in renewable energy, which all ended up being demonstrated to be just a monstrous untruth. And now what we're getting is international plaudits for doing what everybody really knows the world is going to have to do, that is to decarbonise their electricity systems, and doing so in a way where renewable energy can now provide a firm dispatchable power.
So let's talk about that. The system you say has been powered up since Saturday, powered by wind energy, did you say?
That's right. There's a nearby wind farm. So this is a partnership between Neoen, a big French renewable energy company that's built a number of wind farms at Hornsdale, which is just near Jamestown up in the state's north, mm-hmm. and, of course, Tesla, the battery manufacturer. So the two things are side by side, a big wind farm right next to the big battery. The battery's been charged up by the wind farm, and it's obviously charged at a time when there's plenty of power around, plenty of wind power, and then discharged when there are potential shortages, as we saw yesterday.
So that's the whole point, to put the reliability into the system. When the sun doesn't shine or the wind doesn't blow, you've got the battery already stored, storing the power. But how much? I mean, you say you were lampooned a bit by the federal government around this, but the whole point is, will this be enough to keep the lights on? Because critics point out, well, it's still only going to be, the world's biggest battery is still only going to be enough to power something like 30,000 homes for 8 hours.
And this is the point. It does two things. One is it provides what are called FCAS services, frequency control ancillary services, which at the moment are provided in the system by thermal generators. So it does that. That's one thing it does. But it also provides reserve shortfalls in circumstances where, as you indicated, there needs to be more power that's brought on. So it can do a couple of different things. It's quite a flexible technology. And it played that role beautifully yesterday.
How big is it physically?
It's massive. It's, say, about half the size of a football field, an AFL football field.
Right.
So it's a big array of essentially individual batteries, which are all connected together and then obviously connected off to the nearby wind farm.
This all feeds into the discussion we've been having actually since the storms really turbocharged this discussion about our energy grid and our energy mix. The latest policy we have is the National Energy Guarantee. The Commonwealth promised to sign off on that by this month, but you need states on boards to do that. Are you on board yet? I mean, you have dismissed it as just code for more coal. Are you on board with the National Energy Guarantee?
Not at all, no. It's a guarantee of nothing, a guarantee of us being hooked into a coal industry past. And what it wants to do is really curtail our growth in renewable energy, and we're not giving away that opportunity. I mean, this is growth in jobs and technology, and why would we sign up to something that essentially has one of its fundamental underpinnings? No growth in renewable energy.
Well,
it just doesn't make sense.
Just on that, perhaps you're not understanding it. According to Kerry Schott, who's the chair of the Energy Security Board, that's the board that came up with the National Energy Guarantee, she told us earlier this week that once we get the NEG in place, states will be able to have different targets in terms of what reliability standards the dispatchable power has to be. Let's have a listen.
what we have designed here is a policy going ahead that would allow emissions reductions to meet the Commonwealth target, which is extremely important, mm-hmm. And also allowed the states to continue with separate emissions reductions targets if they wish to.
Sounds like you will have flexibility under the National Energy Guarantee. Is that how you understand it?
No, that's not how I understand it. What she didn't tell you is that this is one of the most extraordinary schemes I've ever seen. Not business as usual excludes things that are already happening. So it excludes the state-based renewable energy targets in Queensland and Victoria, but includes something that isn't happening, the hydro project, the Snowy Hydro project. If you actually include the efforts that are made in Queensland and Victoria, the National Energy Guarantee does precisely nothing. So in other words, that all of the growth in renewable energy is done by the existing Commonwealth RET or the existing state-based RETs in both Victoria and Queensland. So it does precisely nothing.
Well, but the renewable energy target, the Commonwealth one, will be phased out when the NEG comes
in. That's right. But that, together with the state schemes, does all of the work, and this new arrangement does zero. And we're confident, and that's why we've asked modelling, and the federal government refused to support us to do this modelling, but we're confident that when we do our modelling, we'll do it ourselves, that you can actually get serious and strong renewable energy targets, that is the growth of more renewable energy, which we believe in, and it won't do any violence to the reductions in prices that are assumed by the Commonwealth. So we think you can get your cake and eat it. You can get essentially emissions reductions and higher ones, growth in renewable energy, a firm electricity market, but also lower prices. And we'll demonstrate that. We'll go back to the emissions intensity scheme that we've been advocating very powerfully for well over a year now, and we'll demonstrate it's a better scheme than the one the Commonwealth are running around with.
It's 4 minutes to seven. Our guest is the South Australian Premier, Jay Weatherill. On another issue, your state has had your own recent run-in with the banks, which has in the end come to naught. You've had to dump your proposed banking levy. What's your response to the announcement by the federal government yesterday to hold a royal commission into the banks? Do you welcome that?
Oh, I do, although, you know, they try and touch up the usual suspects by having a crack at the unions over essentially industry super, which is what you'd expect from a Liberal government. They cannot conduct an inquiry except to ensure that it's a witch hunt of the unions. But we want to expand the inquiry to include some other terms of reference. We'd like to understand the offshoring practices of the banks. We see literally thousands and thousands of jobs that are being offshored, jobs which we believe should remain here in South Australia. That should be the subject of a broader scope of the terms of reference.
And just finally and briefly, we're almost out of time, but you have had to drop your proposed bank tax. That leaves you a $370 million hole in your budget over the next 4 years. How are you going to fill that?
Oh, we'll have a mid-year budget review. That'll all be made clear very soon. But we've already announced some alternative revenue measures, including the taxation of foreign transactions for residential properties, and that's consistent with what New South Wales and Victoria are doing.
You'll need some more new taxes other than that, though, won't you?
No.
Premier, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jay Weatherill is the Premier of South Australia, and as I mentioned, a big day in South Australia, well, for the nation, really, turning on the world's biggest lithium battery at Jamestown, about 200 km north of Adelaide.